Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. We've seen till verse 4, and verse 5 brings a new scene before us. The psalmist had spoken about he being a sheep under the wonderful care of the good shepherd, and he is overflowing with, you know, we'll have to understand his mindset. He's overflowing with the love of the shepherd. And he spoke about the relationship that a shepherd has in his life, being closely engaged with every minute details of his life, just like a shepherd is engages his life with the sheep. The shepherd's relationship and the shepherd's provision, green pastures and still waters. If that is not enough, then he goes on and builds and says, if you wander, he restores. If that is not enough, he will guide you in the path of righteousness. If that is not enough, he will protect you even in the shadow of, when you walk through the shadow of the valley of death. If that is not enough, he will not send any angels to be with you, to be your companion, but his immediate, infinite presence will be with you, which will remove all fear of evil in any difficult situation. It insulates you from all evil, right? And if that is not enough, then he talks about the shepherd's comfort, his rod and his staff that comfort us through all the life and even through death, right? Now, he describes himself as a guest being entertained by a generous host, okay? It's as if David, with his bubbling heart, he has kind of exhausted the metaphor of sheep and the shepherd, right? He has contemplated all his life being a sheep under the shepherd's care, how happy he is, how protected he is, how blessed, passing even through the dangers, no evil, even through death, you know, he doesn't have to fear anything. Now, he could have ended the Psalm 23 with verse 4 because his metaphor ends. But that's not enough for the bubbling heart of David, right? He's overflowing with gratitude. His sense of the Lord's goodness has been so much. He's not fully satisfied. So he shifts gear to another rich metaphor of a guest and a generous host, okay? The first metaphor, we can say, comes from his past life where he was a humble shepherd. And the second of host comes from his, you know, current life, being a royal king, right? As a king, he is experiencing God's feast of grace. We remember the beautiful story of David. I preached in Tamil service. David, he wants to express the love that God has shown to him in his life, and he is bubbling grace. You know, he selected Mephibosheth, who was his enemy's son, Jonathan's son, but enemy's grandson. And he wanted to show kindness to him. So he restores all Saul's riches to him. And you know what he says to him? You will eat at the king's table, my table, all the days of your life. You will have a royal feast at my table. I will prepare that table, right? And be, you know, in a short way, you know, this phrase can be called as, be my guest, right? David, be my guest. That's what David said to Mephibosheth. You will be my guest every day till you die. Even today, you know, who among us doesn't want to go to a feast and be a guest, right? Being guest is the most wonderful thing. I love to be a guest, right? Being a host is a difficult thing, you know, you'll have to buy, prepare, plan and all that. Being a guest, you know, it's just wonderful to go and enjoy the generosity of people. And the more generous the host is, right, the more rich and more eager we want to go. And someone invites us to, let's say, Leela Palace or a palace ground, and you know, we want to cancel all our program and want to be the guest, right? In the olden Bible days, some royal person, you know, if he invites somebody to a feast to eat at their table, it had a great significance. If you are going and eating with somebody, if he's a royal person, that person wants to have a bond with you, right? A bond of faithfulness, a bond of love. And often when people sit and eat together, a covenant is sealed between the parties there in the feast. We read a lot of Old Testament covenants sealed with a meal, okay? If they want to make a covenant, they will sit and eat and make a covenant, right? If the worldly men's table is so rich, here David talks about the table of great Jehovah. Look at this figure, right? It's so rich and it kind of encompasses, it includes all that David has said before, right? Just one phrase, you know, he's kind of just summarizing all that. David sees this great Jehovah with his overwhelming love and his infinite love. He's inviting him, a poor sinner, and saying, David, be my guest. As a host, Jehovah is not only feeds him, he not only provides him a feast, the phrase says he prepares a feast, he prepares a table for me, right? You know, preparation means, you know, it's going to be a grand feast, right? Somebody tells you, why don't you come to our house for dinner? And, you know, we may think, okay, whatever they're going to prepare, they're going to give me, right, for themselves. But when they say, because you're coming to our house, we are involved in preparation, then we imagine it's going to be something special, right? So David says he prepares. Imagine the great Jehovah preparing a feast. And where does he do it? He's not only just preparing a feast. He is preparing a table in the presence of my enemies. It's a rich phrase. It has a lot of things, right? The symbol of a gracious host is so comprehensively includes the Jehovah's care in the midst of all the dangers that we can face, right? Don't worry about all the dangers that you're facing as long as you are the guest of Jehovah, right? Jehovah has called you to be his guest, so don't worry about anything. So there are two contrasting things in this. One side, you have this Jehovah's table where you become a guest, and another side, you have all these enemies. Okay, if you know the history of David, it's so easy to understand the Psalms figurative languages, right? Maybe I think David, in 2 Samuel 17, when he is driven away from by his son's rebellion, and his son, you know, rapes all his wives, and then it's a shameful thing for him, right? And he shamefully is driven away into wilderness, and he didn't even have food. He couldn't even carry anything. He just like went like a fugitive in the wilderness, and he was so discouraged. He was closing his face with his hands, and he was weeping in the streets in shame. Imagine his own son doing all this to him. You know, it's in the midst of all his enemies. He couldn't even stay in his own city for which he toiled for so many years. And what did the Lord do for him? In the wilderness, he put a grand feast for him. There were three men, Shobi, Machir, and Barzillai, who brought a list of items. You know, it kind of, Bible kind of lists all these grocery items, the rich food that they all brought. You know, it lists how much milk, how much ghee, how much items, everything, all was brought to David in the wilderness. Probably David is thinking about that. In the midst of my horrible circumstances, in the midst of heart-shattering circumstances, Lord, you have prepared a table for me. When I think of all of us, including me, right, we all have enemies, right? We are all overwhelmed with our enemies. Like we saw in the 2 weeks ago, I preached in 2 Samuel. Our enemies are overwhelming. And, you know, it's so discouraging many a times. It can be in the form of extreme workload, right? I had so much of workload and it discourages us. Sometimes devil may do that for us, right? And it gets worse. It doesn't reduce. Sometimes it's so tiring, a workload, or it could be some problem that we are facing, and we feel tempted to say, Lord, if possible, remove this cup from me, right? Or it could be some sickness upon sickness, and we are so discouraged, and or could be family problem, or could be a struggle with our remaining sin, and you know, or a job, or you know, it's sometimes it seems like a whole army, you know, different varieties of armies are trying to attack our faith. And in the midst of all these enemies, right, we do become tired. We become hungry. We become soul thirsty. Yes, David had bigger problems. If anybody had problems, you know, you should ask David. He had problems every area of his life. His life was always in constant threat. I don't know how many of you are living in a life of constant life-threatening situation. He had financial problems and he was driven by Saul. He had to beg food, right? He had to go and literally beg for food. And whatever it was, temple food was there, please give it to me, I'm so hungry. And yes, major family problems, right? Problem with his wife Michal, problem with his kids, and he had every kind of problem. Every believer has problems. And you know how we survive and how we triumph in the midst of all these enemies? In the midst of all these enemies, the great comfort for a believer is, Jehovah has set a table for me in the midst of my enemies, and he's invited me, calling, be my guest. It's only the table of the Lord that gives us the strength and the endurance and the comfort to survive all this. Many of us don't look at that side of it. We are all focused on the enemy side of it, right? Oh, we have all these problems, all this. But yes, you will have all these problems. And you know, you should expect all these problems. Because Christ has said, in the world you will have tribulations. You know where Bible says you will have a cakewalk life? You will have problems. You will have struggles. You will have different kinds of struggles. Each one unique struggles. But we'll have to remember, thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Right? It's a great comfort. Let me talk about two kinds of tables the Lord has prepared. That is the table of providence. Right? The table of providence. And table is a symbol of adequate, appropriate feast or a banquet. Right? When we see a table, this table through the eyes of faith, and when we feast at it through faith, even in the midst of famine, even in the midst of foes, right, we will say, we will be enabled to say with David, I shall not lack. Yes, in the midst of all these problems, I don't lack anything. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. It doesn't mean that you don't have problems, right? But the Lord's table is so adequate for me that I do not lack. Now, the problem is we all only see the enemies, right? But we do not know how comforting, whatever wilderness that we may be going through, where providence has placed us, however tiring, however pressing our need, however many our enemies, the shepherd has prepared the most appropriate table for us. Most helpful, that table is the most apt and helpful for that situation. All needed strength for that situation, all needed grace for that situation is ready and prepared for us. And he longingly says, you know, to the one who, in the testing time, be my guest. Why don't you draw to my table that I have set before you? Yes, sometimes, you know, it can be overwhelming. It can be so difficult. I know how it can be troubling. And we wonder, why God, why are you allowing this? What comfort? Now, why are you doing this? But what a comforting thing in the midst of all that. I don't know about you. When things seem overwhelming, I think one of the great feasts that we can have is to meditate on the truth of providence. The table of providence. Just to realize that all that I am going through is ordained by my Father, not now, in eternity past. Do you realize that? All that God in eternity, in His decree that He planned every creature, everything that's going to happen, you know, nothing happens by chance. It is all planned by God. He has planned my redemption, and my redemption, and through that redemption, He has planned every circumstance that will not only save me, but will sanctify me fully and take me to heaven. All this is planned. All this is prepared table. We are not facing anything by luck or by chance. Even the most tiring workload is part of the plan. Even the most painful sickness, even the most heartbreaking events, nothing by chance. It's all providence, right? It's all part of the plan that will sanctify us, that will take us to heaven. It will grow our faith, it will sanctify us, it will increase our hope for heaven and result in our good, right? Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear. As long as we maintain faith in providence, trusting in the wisdom and the faithfulness of the God ordering and directing all our worldly events, right? We can manage anything in life, I'll tell you. The problem is, it's not the circumstances are overwhelming. Yes, it can be overwhelming sometimes. But we have all the grace and faith which can overcome the world. The problem is we lose faith. Just like Paul said, I fought a good fight and I guarded my faith. In the midst of all the overwhelming circumstances, I never let loose of my faith. Faith in the providence, right? That God is ordaining all this. It's only when we become practical atheists, oh, we exclude God from our circumstances. Oh, this boss. Oh, it is because of this. Oh, it is because of that. And that's when we get tossed amid all the second causes. We look at all the second causes and we get frightened. We lose our faith and we lose our anchor on God. And our souls are tossed in every wind, right? That's when we lose our peace. And I was teaching on the providence, that providence includes even the sins of believers. Do you know that? You'd have read that. I was teaching, even the sins of believers, that sins committed by the believers are permitted by God and used by God for our sanctification. Wow, is that? How is that possible? The confession lists six reasons why. How is that possible? God uses our sins to chastise us for the former sins. He permits us to fall into that sin. Why? Because to chastise us for former sins. Secondly, to discover the hidden strength of corruption and the deceitfulness of our hearts, and to humble us and to raise us to more close and constant dependence on Him. Right? Just like we sang in that song, right? That guy asked for grace and faith and what, and God started showing him his heart. God started showing him, you know, allowed him to fall into some things and, you know, realize how corrupt he is. Why? That's how God answers our prayer, so that we may come closer to Him, that we may depend on Him. All this is part of the plan, people. So the table of providence, oh, it's what a feast it is when we think about it from that perspective, right? So that... And the confession goes on and says, so that we may be more watchful against future occasions for sin and for other holy ends. That's first table that the Lord has spread. That everything, Paul says, everything, all the works that we do, God has ordained that in eternity past. Every circumstance of our life. Not only God has ordained the end, He whom He has predestined, He has called, and whom He is called, He is justified, and those who are justified, He is going to glorify. And every event that will go on, every circumstance, all the second causes are part of the table that God has prepared. He's prepared a table for me. Then the table of redemption, right? Table of providence is such a comforting table, right? And then the table of redemption, think about it. The King of Heaven welcomes every believer to sit at his royal table. And he's furnished a wonderful table of goodness. Just both Old and the New Testament scriptures always represent the redemption as God being the host of a feast and all the sinful men being the guests. Right? And it's a sumptuous, it's a delicious table, enough to supply every need and every situation of our life. Not only God has ordained the circumstances that we will face, the terrible sufferings that we will go through, but the redemption provides all the grace and strength needed to meet that circumstance. Right? And you know, that's the table. It's the table of redemption. And Isaiah, let me quote two verses. The Bible is filled with this kind of metaphor. Isaiah 51:1. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully and eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. It's a welcome for a table, right? For a feast. In Isaiah, that's the gospel of Isaiah. And then we all know the famous passage in Matthew 22. The kingdom of heaven is like unto the king who made a marriage feast for his son and set forth his servants to call them, and he called them for the wedding. But they would not come, right? And he goes and announces, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed and all things are ready. Come unto the feast. It's a gracious invitation, and the table is a comprehensive term, right? It denotes all kinds of provision for us. Every needful, desirable thing is there, right? The psalmist says, you prepare. It means the active God with all his wisdom, all his infinite foreknowledge, all his, you know, infinite grace and active agency of God has prepared this salvation, this redemption for you and me. He has prepared this table from eternity to meet all our spiritual, physical, emotional, mental, psychological needs. The supplies are so comprehensive that it is adequate for all our wants, and it is enough, right? The blessings are all set for us. Just imagine a table that is there. Oh, you have a problem and you don't have one problem for which there is no feast there, there is no dish there. Every kind of problem. You can, you know, there is not one among us whose circumstance, you know, is overlooked, right? That circumstance is also included. So that, you know, all that you need in that circumstance is suitably provided here. And we all read the decree of God, the decree that God planned, right? Every circumstance, every trial, the table of redemption has adequate provisions, adequate. Pardon, peace, wisdom, strength, health, life, comfort, sympathy. What do you need? Joy, peace, patience, right? Humility, faith, hope, perfectly, completely given to us. There is nothing wanting. The Apostle Paul is in jail. Man may be having sickness. He's old, but when he looks at this table, his heart overflows, thinking, God, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Redemption is prepared for us, right? Full remission of sins and complete freedom from any guilt and condemnation. Victory over Satan, victory over sin, victory over world and hell, and eternal hope of heaven. And we don't have to worry. When we have all these things, eternal things fixed, we don't have to worry about the changing ways of life, because we know all these things work and accomplish those purposes. They deliver us from every depravity, that every sin and leprosy that is stuck to our innermost soul. And the fears and inward anxieties, the entire sanctification of our whole nature is part of the redemption package. And I will be admitted into heaven. When I am admitted into heaven, I will be in a position where I can commune with the triune God in the fullness of joy. Oh, what a great calling is that. So as invited guests for this table, the table of providence and the table of redemption. The table of providence has planned all the circumstances. The table of redemption has provided for all the circumstances, every grace, everything that you need adequately. And what are we supposed to do in the table? What are we supposed to bring? We are not supposed to bring anything to this table. It is free. We have to come with humble faith, with a sense of utter unworthiness, and gratefully sit and partake. Through the eye of faith, look at the table. And through the hands of faith, and through the meditation, partake with your hearts. The feast for every believer who knows that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God that proceeds from the mouth of God. That believer, through faith, he exercises the means of grace and communes with God. He tastes God. He tastes this redemption. He tastes this redemption through meditation, through prayers. And just like David, in the midst of all his problems, he was a man in deep communion with God. And how did he maintain his communion? It is through the regular means of the word, prayer, and the temple. And he exercises that prayer, faith, right, in secret prayer, in reading, in other means of Lord's table. He draws spiritual nourishment. And he sees this table through the eyes of faith, and he has enough nourishment of his soul. And he could say, you have prepared a table for me in the midst of enemies, in the presence of enemies, in the presence of all these dangers I face. Right? Believer has free access to this table, just like a traveler, you know, he's traveling and he's very, very tired. Just like how it energizes him, it nourishes him to take some rest and have some food. And that's how God, you know, has given the means of grace for us. We become faint and we would have felt, you know, so tired. But as soon as we use the means of grace, right, we felt tired for a little bit, and when we come to the table, it has revived us, it has given new energy, it has given new strength. Hasn't that happened to you when you read or prayed or came to church and you were convinced that there is some divine virtue that has entered your soul and there is more eagerness, there is more life and liveliness? Why? It is the nourishment of that redemption soul, redemption table that comes from the table of redemption. And there is so much. There is everything. See, only when we recognize that table alone can have fulfill all my needs, we will run to that table, right? When we are blind, we can go to that table and see with bright eyes. When we are weak, when we are fainting, we can go and feast as much as we want for every circumstance. And, you know, we have an answer there by partaking. The problem with us. What is the problem with us? It is like when the men went and invited people to come to the table. You know what it says? Those people who were invited, they made light of it. That's the problem with us. We think these means of grace is just, you know, take it lightly, okay? Do it when you have time, you know. Okay, I have lots of work today, so let's take it lightly, prayer time and Bible reading, and let's keep it aside because so much to, it's so overwhelming. But we don't realize, you know, like these reformers who have learned the secret, who have learned the trick of the trade. Oh, I have so much of work today, so today I'm going to pray more than I used to pray, because that prayer and that nourishment and that strength will help me to be more productive and overcome all these and accomplish more than I would ever would without that nourishment. Right? That's the secret. Okay, today I can't read the Bible because there's so much of work and get up. No. When I read the Bible, all that work, I can, you know, do it with more energy, more productivity, more positive, with the presence of God, with the Holy Spirit's help. I will be more productive today. I will be able to handle situations with more God's presence. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because Thou art with me. Right? And look at, we have excuses just like them. I cannot come to the feast today. Just imagine those people. And we are like that because I brought two cows today. And the man said, and they began to make excuses. I have brought a field, so I must go and see it. I'm busy, real estate. Please excuse me. And another guy said, I have bought five oxen, yoke of an oxen. Can you imagine saying them? And our excuses are like that, right? Oh, I have five cows, so busy, and I want to go there. And so I'm on my way to try it out. Foolish fellow, you bought a field. Where is the field going to fly? Go to the feast and then come and see the field. You'll have full stomach and all energy to enjoy the field also. And you have oxen. And you want to go and try it out? You already bought it. No, what is the trying it out? You should have tried it out before buying it. All these silly, useless excuses. And another man has a valid excuse. You know what was his excuse? I got married, so I can't come. Oh, these are our excuses. How about taking your wife for the most wonderful dinner of your life? How silly excuses. Oh, may God open our eyes to see this table, right? Yes, we have many enemies. Yes, we have all kinds of problems. Sometimes it seems like we are waging a war. But it is only this table that gives us the strength and provision and all the soul nourishment to, in the midst of the enemies, the Lord has put up this table. The enemies do a great work to hinder us to come to this table. Because once we come to this table, right, the enemy's work, you know, becomes very, very difficult. They discourage us, they fill us with unbelief. Oh, may God help us to open our eyes to see this table, all this table. For all that is we face in life, right, it is enough. And think about it. This is the foretaste of heaven's table. Right? Though this table is enough for all the circumstances of this world, but there is a fullness of that table coming in heaven. Oh, what a joy when we are with the in the Lamb's Supper. We will be in that everlasting heaven, and we will be with all the people who are redeemed. And you know, now we struggle with doubts. Will I go to heaven, or will I? Imagine a time we feel that yes, I am. I have reached. Right? I have really been accepted by God. I am really an elect. And you know, when we are welcomed and when we are welcomed in that table, and that is being prepared from all eternity, how will that table be? And to see the King in all His beauty, the Lord Jesus said, comforted the disciples, I am going now. But next time when I drink the wine, I will not drink until I drink with you. Right? What a glorious thing that will be to sit with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob in the kingdom of heaven with songs of eternal praise. And you know, one verse says, they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away for eternity. That's the table the Lord has prepared. Let's pray.